Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. I often wonder how many of you ordinary people out there realize what a specialized artist the BBC announcer. Not any Tom, Dick, and my name is Barry can succeed. For instance, Commander Weatherby, would you care to read this motoring flash?
Yes, I'm going to be the first.
Yes, well, in case that hasn't proved my point, would you like to read this news item, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips?
Oh, gosh. I've always wanted to do this. It was reported in Marylebone Court today that Miss... X has accused Mr. Y of, I'm terribly sorry. I'm far too young to read this.
May I have a try? Barry?
I'm rather good at this.
Be my guest.
Hello, groovy babies. This is what you do. Are you listening, Mum? Because we're going to fight the flab. It's all happening today in the Bijou basement. The scene's really swinging, and remember, don't get drunk, click, clunk.
Well, chaps?
Don't call us. We won't call you.
Oh, Savile's travels to the lot of you.
Now, gentlemen, this is hardly the attitude to take at the beginning of a goodwill mission to Australia. You may be docking in Sydney Harbour a little late, but at least you've got there. And you haven't lost all the other ships in the fleet on the way.
Look, to everyone's astonishment and complete bafflement, Mr. Finister, something must have gone wrong with your navigational, because it's Sydney Harbour straight ahead, sir.
Oh, it was nothing. You see, being Australia, I simply turned my charts upside down. Then on it was child's play.
Ah, that would account for it. If it was child's play, it would be just your age level.
Very funny. And who got you here?
Do you really want an answer, sir?
The radar. And whose little finger switched it on?
You didn't switch it on, Mr. Phillips. You knocked into it when you fell over it.
Gents, please. Look, dockyard and the rest of the flaming fleet dead ahead, sir. Not one would like to stop before we do something unfortunate. 17 ships in line ahead. We hit the back one. It's going to sound like Clapham Junction at shunting time.
Chief,
if we run makepeace in this darn, they'll go boing, 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 all the way to Wagga Wagga.
And why Wagga Wagga? I suppose they must have liked the place so much they named it twice.
Shut up, the pair of you. Stop engines. Quick.
Everybody down.
That was a pity.
What a big man, what was that?
Nothing to do with us, sir. The main thing is, Captain Furby, that we've arrived in Sydney and are docked in the right place.
Yeah, the rest of the fleet isn't anymore, but we are.
Well, that's something, I suppose.
Leading Seaman Goldstein, chatting. I've got a complaint. I'm overworked. Not that anybody up here will have noticed. Leading Seaman, I'm supposed to be. Starboard lookout, I'm supposed to be. But letter collector from the mail boat and letter sorter for you lot up here is not what I'm supposed to be. I thought once we'd allowed him to be Prince of Wales. and given him the barge cover at Carnarvon Castle, and let him join the Royal Navy, things would have improved, but they haven't. Obviously, his ma and pa have been getting at him. Despite all we've done, he's just as English as the rest of you up here.
Ghost!
Here's your letters.
Oh, what an eminent flaming moment. We travelled 10,475 miles to Australia. And what does poor Pert we get? An income tax demand. May one borrow someone's ballpoint?
Oh, yes, here you are, Chief.
It's all there. This caname cannot canoon. So canandly return to you canated caningdom. Yours with canoe love, Mr. X.
You should worry. All I got is a letter from Fortnum and Mason saying that my poor little Donald Duck watch can't be repaired. And there's still no news from Disneyland about my Mickey Mouse watch. So, would I consider changing it to a Bugs Bunny watch at half price? And if agreeable, would I stop claiming on my guarantee?
Yeah, what little jollity did you have, Commander Murray, sir?
Oh, letter from Rita Kins. I mean my wife, Mrs. Murray. I can't read it now. I shall put it into the great big wallet she gave me for my 30th anniversary. I shall keep it close to my heart. Bosom pocket. I shall probably read it in the wee small hours. I can picture her better then. That grand little woman mucking out the stables for gorgeous George and Bouncing Betty. Her sweet little Wellington. Oh, heavens above, how I wish you were here.
Steady, sir. Steady. This is no time to crack. Remember, you're a chap's senior service chap.
Thank you, Phillips. I shan't forget this.
Captain Povey, sir. You're very quiet.
What's that, Chief?
Oh, yes, I'm reading this extremely loving letter from my dear wife, Ramona. It seems she misses me. Now, where was I?
Dear Henry Povey, how dare you swore when you knew perfectly well that my dado was inducted. Furthermore, during your absence, whilst you've been away with our little sailor friends, it has not escaped my notice that before leaving, you failed to give the dear mother's bust a quick flick with your little feather duster. Plaster of Paris bust. Don't grow on trees, you know. And don't think you can slope off to Sydney without this town talking. I have tried to cover up your callousness of abandoning me, just to play boats with the Navy, by boiling your tea time eggy every day. And you will eat them all when you return. Regards from the woman you are fortunate enough to have married, Ramona Povey. Brackets on, Mrs. Brackets off.
I'm jolly glad she misses you, sir. It can't be easy for the loved ones at home, sir.
Well, never mind, chaps. We just had to try to dismiss the little women from our minds. After all, we are here to spread goodwill. We must be bright at all times. And that's all, sir.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Commander Murray. We are here to wave the British flag. It's going to be one endless round of sumptuous civic functions and dinners, and whether we like it or not, gentlemen, we must force ourselves to appear as if we are enjoying all that wretched caviar, oysters, pheasant, duck, cake suzette, glass upon glass of vintage champagne, and bottle upon bottle of Napoleon brandy.
Gosh, it'll be sheer purgatory.
Sir, we must put up with it for the sake of the nation. We are British, and we can take it.
This is Bluey Haines in Sydney, Australia. And before we go over to Michael in London, here's an urgent news flash. Sorry about that, Michael.
Bluey.
Yeah, well, at least it's sunny here. Now here's the news flash. The well-known international criminal known as the Master has escaped from prison. If they see him, the public are warned not to approach him, as he's known to be heavily disguised. And now for our first request. It's for Thor and Bert Winters of Sheepherder's Bush.
Oh, hello, Bluey.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Shepherd's Bush. Yeah, sorry about that, Mike. For Fur and Bert Winters, here's Julie Andrews singing the title song from The Dirtiest Show in Town.
Oh, clams, some twit at flood door number two. Oh, clikey, kneel on floor, could be TV lentil man. Better look through peephole to see who it is. You look unto a place. Many dishonorable Chinese clanks. It is the master. One more clang. Open door quick. Otherwise, master will do his Chinese nuts. Realize it was raining outside.
It isn't. Mark, I was waiting outside for you two, Trevor Boyles, to work up your strength. The people in the flat upstairs opened their window and tipped over me what I sincerely trust was their washing up walk. Stop laughing. If you want to live.
It is so nice to see your flea, master.
Now listen, you clever boy. I wouldn't have been flea, as you say, if it hadn't been for clever agent number three. He got me out of prison, and 5 years ago, you were the clever boy who got me in.
Oh, clums, oh, clikey.
Oh, yes. I shall never forget that night 5 years ago when we entered the Tower of London to steal the crown jewel. We had the perfect plan to knock out the beef-eaters, so all would be well. We released the gas bombs to put them to sleep for 24 hours, and all was well. The three of us put on our gas masks and entered the jewel tower, and all was well. It was then, if you remember, you clever boy, that the taffy tin can of my taffy second-hand gas mask, which contained the breathing chemical, fell off. And as a result, the rubber nozzle got blocked up, and all was not well. So instead of collecting the crown jewel, I collected a £5,000 overdraft. And after a mouthful of that gas, the longest night's sleep I've ever had. 5 years in jail.
Oh, sorry, master.
So sorry, master.
Yeah, but enough of the past. Let us look into the future, my two hungry dogs. There is a squadron of British ships who are on a goodwill mission to Australia.
You mean it was goodwill before tonight, master?
Exactly, you not-so-clever boy. Now, in order to clear my £5,000 overdraft, plus the interest over 5 years, I, or rather you, will kidnap Sir Edmund Glutt, the millionaire in Dutchess.
Oh.
His ransom should more than cover my losses.
Leave it to us, master.
I intend to. The nosh-up is at 8 o'clock this evening at the Grand Hotel. Now, you can't mistake Sir Edmund Glutt. He's about 50, bald as a coot, 6 foot tall, and will be sitting in the fourth chair on the right at the top table. You two clever boys will go there as waiters and kidnap him.
Coffee, sir?
Why, please. Well, that's another meal over, thank goodness.
Yes, I agree.
I thought this one was quite passable. Like foie gras Strasbourg flamed with cognac.
I didn't go too much on my Beaujolais shandy either. It was a bit flat.
Commander Murray, would you ask Lady Glutt to pass the sugar?
Oh, certainly. Mr. Phillips, would you ask Lady Glutt to pass the sugar?
Oh, certainly. Excuse me, Lady Glutt.
Why? What do you intend to do to me, you impetuous boy?
Nothing.
That's what they all say.
I just wondered if you'd pass the sugar.
If you want my phone number, why don't you come out in the open and say so?
But I don't want your...
That's what they all say. To begin with. Now, quickly, get your pencil out. Sir Edmund's looking the other way.
But I don't want...
It's Sydney 534-734. Now, quick, change the subject. Sir Edmund's noticed it.
Notice what? I never...
Neither do I. I think polo's such a bore unless you're actually playing it.
Polo? Who's talking about polo?
You're right. Sir Edmund's looking the other way again. And if he can't remember the number, it's in the book under glove. Page 590, halfway down the right-hand side.
Yeah, thanks, but...
Not that I normally give it to comparative strangers, but you've been so persuasive. You stinking boy.
Murray, what's going on? What's Phillips chatting up that ghastly woman for?
Leave it to me, sir. I'll bypass him. Excuse me, madam, will you pass the...
Oh! Another one! Will they never stop?
Mm. It's halfway down page 590 on the right hand.
Madam, would you please...
Anytime. But not when my husband's about and he goes to Melbourne 4 days tomorrow. You'll find me on the Sydney 534-734.
And if you can't remember it all, sir, it's halfway down page 590 on the right hand side. And she's under Sydney.
My lord! Ladies! And gentlemen! Pray silence for Admiral Water!
Oh, he means you fool. Nothing? Right, now, where the devil am I? Yes. No. What are all these people doing in my office? It's not your office. Yours is a rotten little cubbyhole in the back of Whitehall. You deserve much better than that. Yes, I know, yes. I'm going to put in a complaint. Yes, and I shall, first thing in the morning. Yes, I will, yes. Tomorrow? That's always been your job, isn't it? Putting things off. I'm not putting things off, yes, you are. No, I'm not, yes, you are. I tell you what, yes, you are. I'm not, yes, you are. Hold it. Hold it. Everybody's looking at you. You're making a fool of yourself again, Burwater. Let us say something, yes. Say something, yes. I know. Got it, yes. 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 My lords, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. Yes. Well, that should hold them for a bit. Not for long. It'll give you a breather. Yes. My word, I do feel full up, yes. Well, you fruit, you've just eaten. Have I? Yes. You were shoveling grub down like a maniac. Have I? Yes. The only thing you left on the plate is the knife and fork. Hello. They're looking at you again, Berwasser. Think, man, think. Now, Berwasser, where are you? I don't know. Yes, we'll open the box and find out. Got it, yes. Yes, for the main speech. Really? Must listen to that. You can't, you fool. You're making it, am I? Can't hear anything? Yes, come on, now get on with it, get on. Yes. Thank you. Now, where are my notes? Yes, got them, yeah. Now, as we all know, it's Sydney 534-734. And if you can't remember that, it's page 590 and it's halfway down the right. Hang on, wait a minute, that can't be right. No. No, you're making a fool of yourself again, Burwater. Ah, yes, here we are, yes. Yes, sir. As you all know, I am here representing the, Chairman Olson. They have asked me to tell you, and they're at all times. Yes. Tomorrow, And famous particularly. Well, it's nice to have met you, whoever you are. And come and see me in my crummy office any time. Yes. Yes, well done, Bill Watson. Good morning, yes.
Quick, number two. While everybody's trying to work out what peace was all about, tell Sir Edmund Glutt he is wanted outside. Where agent number three is waiting to buff him one and take him to the master. Which one is Sir Edmund Glutt?
Fool!
As the master says, he is the bald as a coot one. So that is obviously him.
This is Bluey Haynes in Sydney, Australia. And before we go over to Michael in London, here's an urgent news flash. Yeah, sorry about that, Michael.
Bluey.
Yeah, Michael, it's still sunny here. Now for the news flash. The mysterious disappearance of Captain Povey from a Goodwill dinner deepens. The Sydney police have had a phone call from the well-known international criminal known as the Master, admitting that he kidnapped the now well-known bald-headed Captain Povey by mistake. He states that he's willing to release Captain Povey almost unharmed in exchange for the well-known bald-headed Sir Edmund Glutt. Now, Michael, back to the music. And for our first request, it's our old friends Thor and Bert Winters have now moved to Pond Jack.
Bluey.
Yeah, you're right, Michael. They're Penge. Sorry about that, Mike. Yeah, the sun's still shining. For Thor and Bert Winters, here's Danny LaRue singing There's Nothing Like a Dame.
You be Commander Murray of the Pommy Navy?
Roughly, yes. And this is Subaltern Phillips of the Pommy, British Navy.
You know, all this intrigue reminds me of a film I once saw.
No, it doesn't. Fine.
Well, I'm Inspector White, and this is my colleague, Detective Sergeant Clark.
And that's Clark with an E.
Yes, well, anyway, in this film, Humphrey Bogart, or was it Fred Astaire? Well, anyway, they were on the dockside at midnight, just like we are. And the whole place was entirely surrounded by Australian policemen. Or were they Indian? Anyway, they were all in uniform. No, I'm wrong. They weren't at a dockside like we are. They were in a field. And it wasn't midnight, it was 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, shut up! This is extremely serious. Inspector White, what is your plan?
Well, Sir Edmund should be here any second now. And as far as the master is concerned, we shall go ahead with the exchange. Right, Claude?
Right. And that's Claude with an E.
As soon as Captain Povey's handed over, Sir Edmund will walk towards the master's powerboat. And before he steps aboard, you, Commander Murray, will blow this whistle.
That's whistle with an E.
Anyway, this film... Humphrey Bogart, or Fred Astaire, that's Astaire with an E. I can't remember whether it was a film with a U or an A or an S. I do know it was a picture. That's a picture with an A.
I usually found the only thing to do is to treat him like a complete ignoramus. That's ignoramus without an A.
This will be Sir Edmund.
Well, he's cut it rather fine. He's only beaten the master by a split second.
Right. Detective Sergeant Clark.
And I
will disappear into the darkness and leave you with Sir Edmund. Now, don't forget, the moment Captain Povey's safe and Sir Edmund walks towards the powerboat, you blow your whistle.
Yeah, I got it. That's whistle with an E.
Good evening, Sir Edmund.
No, you lovely fellows, it's me.
But you can't, it's dangerous. You'll never fool the master. Even I can't fool him. I can baffle him a bit. In fact, I can baffle anybody. But I can't fool him.
Boy, there, you clever boy. I am ready to make the exchange if you have to Edmund there.
Not so fast. How do we know that you've got Captain Povey with you?
That's simple. I'll prove it, sir. Tell him something.
That's him.
Right. Send your hostage towards us, and we'll send yours towards you.
I can't believe it. I'm saved from the jaws of death. Saved, you hear me? Saved. Anna, don't shoot. I'm a married man.
Well, come on, Mr. Phillips. Blow the whistle.
Hurry. Come on. Getting away with bleeding drops. Hurry up.
I can't. I've lost my pee. That's P with an A.
Now, spy number one, start the engines and get us out of here immediately, if you want to live. Uh-huh. Welcome aboard, Captain. As always, the master has triumphed again.
Offer you have. It's not Redmond, it's me. Lady Judge, you lucky boy.
What? You? Lucky nothing. You take your hands off me, madam.
Oh, come on, dear. Come on, stop playing hard to get.
Oh, leave me alone, madam. Spy number one. Sharp turn to port at once.
Ah! Oh!
Bye-bye. And many happy breaststrokes, Lady Glass.
My telephone number is 534-734.
It's Glass. Page 590. Halfway down the page on the right-hand side.
And she's under Sydney.
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips have been doing a kangaroo polka in the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Richard Caldicott was Captain Purvey. Lady Glut was Heather Chasen, Kathy Goldstein was Samuel Evans, and Michael Bates played Detective Sergeant Clark. That's Clark with an E. The announcer was Barry Haynes, the show was produced by Alice Scott Johnson.